Hi, friends.
Hello, should I delete that, listeners?
We still have some tickets left for our live tour and we would absolutely love to see you there.
On Thursday, the 23rd of May, we will be performing in the London Islington Assembly Hall.
On Monday, the 27th of May, we will be in Salford.
On Tuesday, the 28th of May, we'll be in Glasgow.
Sunday, the 2nd of June, Birmingham.
Monday, the 3rd of June, Bristol.
And Tuesday, the 4th of June in Southampton.
You can get your tickets at aegpresents.co.uk or via the link in the show notes or our Instagram bios.
We really hope we see you there.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Well, I had a guy in the Daily Mail comments. He said, "I bet you're one of those mothers that puts your kids in an Uber and sends them to school every day." I was like, "Do you know what? If the Uber driver would take them, 100%, I would be in."
Who are those mothers?
Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
You know what? I tell you what I wish we could do. Sometimes I listen to like news podcasts and they go, "Hi, welcome back to..." No, and they go like, "Welcome back to Should I Delete That? I'm Em Clarkson and I'm here with my co-host
Alex Light.
And today we're going to talk a bunch of shit." Yeah. I feel like we should practice that, say our own names, which is incredibly unnatural to me and I hate doing it.
You know I'm on news anchor talk, right? Like, what? I'm obsessed with news anchors on TikTok.
Oh, I see, yeah. News anchor talk. That is not a thing. That's not a thing. Don't drop that in like it's a thing and then look at me like I'm the weird one. News anchor talk. I was like, is she having a stroke?
It's a thing, okay? Hashtag news anchor talk. And it's fucking brilliant. And it's people getting ready to go on to anchor the morning news. And they're all stressed and it's scary. And then it's people like doing voiceovers of videos in their anchor voice. And I think we should hone our anchor voice skills.
Our anchor voices. I'll practice that today. Absolutely fine by me.
Good morning, and thank you for waking up with us today.
Oh, yeah. Hope you slept well. Oh, I've run out of things to say.
Good morning.
Do you hate saying your own name when you go into places? When I went in for a wax the other day, because I'm married now, and I have two surnames. I'm a criminal. I'm a regular criminal. But also technically I have two first names because I go with Em and then I go with Emily sometimes and then I go with Clarkson and then I go with Alex's surname. Depending. Like for work I've kept my name because actually, you know what? I wanted to get into this because I got a bit of criticism for keeping my name because people always say about like, if you hate, you know, you're only being known by your surname so much, why don't you change it? And I was like, because then I just become a man's property. I haven't got anything to go into this today. Never mind. I digress. Anyway, I went in to go and get a wax the other day. Well, famously, we talked about it a few weeks ago. I'm due another one. Don't worry. And I went in and I was like, "Hi, it's Em Clarkson." And she literally looked at me and she was like, "I don't have anyone by that name." And then I was like, "Oh, it could be Emily. Could be Emily Andrew." She was like,
"God,
who are you?
You're okay."
I was like filling in the form. I was like, "What name did I give you?" And she's like, If you don't know your name, I can't help you. I was like, okay, fair enough.
I know what you mean. I feel awkward when I say Alex Light. And I don't know why I say it. I feel awkward. But then I always say L-I-G-H-T afterwards. Because I feel like that...
Does it kind of break me
off?
Yeah,
that gets rid of the awkwardness. I'm like, Alex Light, L-I-G-H-T. Which probably just makes me sound like...
Yeah, I do that. I go, oh, M Clarkson. M, not Om. Like E-M, not M.
Oh, yeah. Okay, nice.
Because if someone goes, what's your name? I go, M. They go, what? I go, M. They go, what? I'm like, M. They're like, oh, I thought you were saying Om. I'm like, no,
Do they say like, oh, you mean Emily or Emma? Do they ever say that?
People very often pick up what I'm leaving down and then they run with Emma. And I'm like, I wish you hadn't done that because it's not my name.
It's not my name.
It's not my name. And do I ever tell people? No. It's always the people trolling me though. They're like, I really love you, Emma, but... And I'm just like, don't love me that much. Because my literal name on when you DM me says Emily for this exact reason.
Emma. Love that. Pathetic.
Oh my God, my favourite. I used to have a blog, as we all did, and the first word of my blog was pretty.
Yeah.
Like, it was pretty normal me at the blog. And I used to get emails from PRs who obviously just hadn't bothered checking and always be like, dear pretty. I'd be like, oh, thanks. Hope you're well. I'm like, I am now. Sparkly, thanks.
That's like, you know, Really. Do you know her? Yeah. So her name is Anne-Marie Lodge, but Ree, you know, for Ree. And so many people call her Really, think she's Really. And they're like, hi, Really Ree. She's just like, really? Do you really think that?
So weird, isn't it? Like, we're so tied up with our Instagram names, with our social media handles. Yeah, like, you've made London a massive part of your identity. When in actual fact, we all know it should be Alex Like Paris.
You said it, so I didn't have to. Look, but people think it stands for licensed dietitian nutritionist.
It doesn't.
And it definitely doesn't. No. I would love to take it off, but someone has Alex Light. And I've DM'd them saying, like, any chance, because they're inactive. So I've DM'd them being like, is there any chance I can have this? But unsurprisingly, they don't respond. So actually, I'm surprised they don't respond and say, yeah, give it to me for like £1,000 or something.
Yeah, well, people do that.
Yeah.
My dentist, like, I got a new dentist after my face surgery, and he's a really nice guy. He's called Neil. Don't know why I told you that. Anyway, he was emailing me and he sent me this email. And then, anyway, I didn't know he was emailing me, right? But he basically said, I'll email you after the appointment. He didn't email me. Obviously, it's me. I didn't care. I didn't notice. But when I went back to my next appointment, he was like, oh, I was trying to email you, but it wasn't going through. I was like, well, okay. And he was like, I was actually emailing somebody in Australia who has your email address. But basically, I have my email address as my... I don't want her to get loads of random email addresses, but basically I've got a random number in my email address. Don't know why it's there. I went through all the, it's quite a high number because I went through all the other numbers and they were all taken. So I just ended up with this. But when the dentist had taken my email address, he obviously took it without the number. So he emailed this person, and this woman in Australia replied being like, oh, this happens all the time. I'm not her. This is me. I'm in Australia. I think this is her email address. And then gave him mine, which is very helpful. And then the dentist went back and was like, is there any way she could get this email address from you? Are you active? Is it irritating for you that people keep emailing you thinking that it's her? Because I could definitely talk to her if that's something you might be interested in. And then the dentist was like, yes, I really tried to negotiate that email address for you. I was like, I really don't want it, but thanks. Like, why have you done this? Above and beyond. So now whenever anybody tells me, they're like, oh, I accidentally emailed that woman in Australia, I'm like, oh my God, that poor woman in Australia. She's probably like, just done with me. She's probably my nemesis.
That's so funny. Your dentist trying to like broker this deal for you.
I know, bless him. I was like, it's okay, it's not that deep. I hate being emailed. This is actually very convenient for me that they're all going to somebody like the other side of the world.
Do you know what this reminds me of? Is there is an Alex Light who wrote The Upside of Falling, a book called The Upside of Falling, which I've never read, but apparently is an amazing book because I get some DMs being like, your book, like, it changed my life. It touched me. Like, I get probably at least like one a day. I have to reply and be like, I'm so sorry, it's the wrong Alex Light. Yeah, it's called The Upside
of Falling. I did write
a book,
but I can't guarantee it'll touch you in the same way.
Not the one that changed your life. and I feel bad every time. And I don't think they have an Instagram account, which is a shame because they're missing out on lots of nice DMs that I'm getting.
It's so weird that there's all these people out there in the world that just they have your name and they're just out there living their lives with your name.
I know. How rude.
Speaking of DMs that we got from strangers, I got one this morning from someone who's quite an active viewer of my stories, judging by previous story replies, asking me, do you follow Alex Light London? I was like, yes. Yes.
A little bit.
Yeah, I know of her.
I've heard of her.
Why?
That's
I know
so
why.
Weird.
It's because I was moaning about my bangs. And I think a lot of people said, why didn't you learn from Alex's mistake?
But I can't even remember when I was talking about hating my fringe, but like, if she's seen that, surely she's seen... I don't get it. I don't know.
Maybe people, it's like willful omission. Where they're like, don't want to see us together. Like, it's not something I want to imagine or picture or really make part of my life.
That's
so
fair enough.
So they completely just can't see it. They disassociate. They see us together. And they're like, ugh, skim past. Yeah. And erase that from my memory.
That is so funny. Do you follow her?
Yes. She follows me into like such an in-joke, into fucking cubicles. Al did it the other day. I hate, you know when you go through a spinning door? Al always gets in my segment and it upsets me so much because we have to get in spinning doors. For some reason, a lot of places where there are studios have spinning doors. I really don't know. I don't know the benefit. I don't think there's a benefit. I don't understand them. Just go through a normal fucking door. They're stupid. Do you remember a few years ago that dog died in one? At the Tatler offices.
Yeah.
Horrifying. Anyway, I'm properly traumatized by these segments. And you, every time without fail, get in behind me. It's way too much. And what happened last time? We froze it. Because my massive belly, which I keep not bargaining for whenever I'm operating and moving, I just whacked into the front of it. So obviously they thought somebody was getting stuck, so they stopped the whole thing, which is so embarrassing because then everyone's looking and be like, why are there two people in a segment that's clearly meant for one? I'm like, don't ask me, ask her.
I think I just see my opportunity and I'm like, I know that that's the last thing she wants me to do, so I'm just gonna fucking
physical
do
intimacy
it.
Woo!
I'm in. there's got to be a reason behind these doors. Is it like stagger traffic?
Yeah, okay. Why do companies use...
Oh my God, so much for us, like, cutting down our intro time. It's now 12 minutes in. We've done no good, stop. Bad or awkward, and we're Googling why revolving doors exist.
Why do companies... Someone's written an article called 8 Reasons Buildings Have Revolving Doors. I'm like, look, someone went to journalism school for that. expanded entry and exit passage... Revolving doors reduce street noise. Now that's interesting. So, that would make sense for Soho Studios where we record because they've got a studio on the first floor right by the door. It's beneficial to regions with cold climates because freezing cold drafts can't get in.
Oh.
An added security measure. Revolving doors can't be slammed because, again, that's not a nice noise for people to be listening to.
Oh, wow.
It helps handicapped people. Although I actually find that they don't, because they'll always have another door for disabled use.
Yeah.
So that's...
questionable.
I don't believe that. Yeah, I don't believe that.
No.
Emergency exits.
Really?
Surely again, that makes... I wouldn't want to get in one of those in an emergency.
Emergency exiting quite difficult. Get out!
What?
Get out!
So slow. Do not get in my segment. I did not care that this building is on fire. It is one person per segment. You know the rules. You know what? I don't like this article. I know that someone's written it thoroughly, but they've said it's good for emergency exits, which I don't believe. What is the point of rotating doors? That's a more direct question. Revolving doors are a familiar sight at airports and large department stores. They facilitate a rapid movement of people in and out of building while keeping cold winds out of warm interior spaces.
Okay.
They can also be very useful in access control because typically only one person can use each quadrant at a time. It's written there in black and white, Al. One person per segment.
You know me.
Those are the rules. That's in sciencedirect.com.
I'm an anarchist. So. I like to break the rules.
You are needy. Get close to me.
Right.
Okay, tell me something good or bad or awkward or something.
I suspect we share the same bad, judging by your stories last night.
Okay. Is it my shit hair?
Yes.
Is your bad my shit hair as well?
My bad is having to look at your shit hair. No. My bad, and I suspect we're going to share this, is I just feel like I'm in a rut with my appearance at the moment. Such a rut. I cannot style.
Right, you really put some words in my mouth there, but okay. I feel like we're really struggling with our appearance at the moment. I mean, you're not wrong. I totally am, but carry on.
It's what I inferred through your stories when you said I was just sitting here looking at old pictures.
I literally feel like a... Yeah. I was literally lying on the sofa last night like a fucking seal with a shit haircut, looking at photos of myself being like, really? I was so fucking fit and I had no idea. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
I can't style my hair. I don't know how to style my hair anymore. A Daisy, our producer, put this video together and sent it to us last night. And the video is so funny, but oh my God, I thought I'd styled my hair that morning. I literally look like I've been dragged through a bush backwards and then forwards and then backwards. And it's unkind. The image of me was unkind and unfair. And I don't know. I just, I don't know. I just feel like I'm not enjoying my makeup at the moment. Can't style my hair for shit. I don't know. I'm just going through like a weird rut with it.
What about a facial? Why don't you go for a facial?
I could. I like hydrofacials. I could go and do one of those. I also like red light
facials.
Go to
where I had my facial the other day. I went to Sovral, which is like the best place ever. And I actually feel like sad for myself that I'm sharing the goods because they're the best. It's super natural, like, so, like all like handmade, organic, amazing stuff. But it's like, because I obviously have to have natural stuff, A, because I'm pregnant, but also because I've got a face full of metal from my surgery. And it was lymphatic draining. And yes, I have been in a rut with my appearance, but for the first time in loads of months, I have my jawline back.
Also, your skin is glowing.
Yeah, it is fucking glowing, and it's because of Olivia at Sovral. Go and see her. Go and see her.
Honestly,
she's amazing.
Literally,
I look
like a glazed donut.
Thank you. I actually know that, and I don't take a compliment that rarely, but I was looking that comfortably. But like yesterday, I was filming myself actually low key lolling when I was doing those stories last night, moaning about how I felt like a seal. I was like, well, at least my skin looks really good. But it's because I went for
seals
a facial.
Are shiny, aren't they? So there you go.
They are shiny, yeah. And I feel like it was lymphatic draining because I felt very swollen in my face.
Nice. Okay. Okay, well, there you go.
To go back to it, you have to be kind to yourself because you are chock-a-block full of hormones right now.
No, I know.
So that's probably why you're feeling a bit like, ugh.
I think so. Because hormones. I think so. You know, when you just not can't, but like, I'm looking at myself in the mirror and I'm like, oh my God, I'm just like sick of looking at myself. Like, ew.
You were just not vibing.
I'm just not vibing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
The bloat is real. Oh my God, the bloat. Like, I look 7.5 months pregnant.
Because of the hormones again?
Yeah. Like, my stomach is huge. And
congratulations.
Like, I know, but that's the sad thing.
Let's decorate
it. It's just like, yeah.
It's just air. What is it? Air, water, poop?
I think it's like fluid. I think it's fluid and air. Yeah, I don't actually know. I actually don't know. But
what happens if you squeeze you really hard?
It's like a balloon. I'll just fly up to the ceiling. Anyway, is that your bad too? I just suspected it was after you said about your hair.
I'm sick of moaning about it, but yeah, my hair's driving me mad. It's falling out. I miss it a bunch. I shouldn't have got the fringe. I honestly keep thinking about whether or not I have any ground to actually sue the hairdresser or whether or not I just need to take some responsibility. I just hate it so much. And it's so funny because people keep, like, Fifi, I've been shooting with like loads this week. And every time I've looked at any piece, and I am not a vain person. I've never been a vain person. Like, I genuinely don't give a fuck how I look a lot of the time. And particularly with photos, whenever I've shot content, I've never needed to like see it back. Like, she just takes the photos, takes the video, whatever it is, and then just sends it over. And what I look like is what I look like. And that's fine. I'm not going to reshoot because my hair looks shit. Right?
Yeah.
Or so I thought. That was the old me, whose hair never looked shit, apparently. Because now when I look at something, we've done something like objectively funny or great, and I look at it and I'm just like, ugh, my hair. I also weighed myself this week, which was something I haven't done in years. Like, you get weighed at the beginning of your pregnancy, which is fine. And then I lost weight because of my sickness at the beginning. Yeah. So I was kind of like aware of how much I weighed. And then I got back on the scales the other day and I was like, oh, like, and for a minute I was quite sad. And then it turned from sadness to kind of like awe and amazement at like how I've done that in such a short space of time. And I know it's not forever, but that's difficult. Like, I'm okay having a big belly, but having, like, my legs look so different and my face and everything. And then it's not just that it looks different. Now I know the weight difference. I can see how it is different. Do you know what I mean? It's just a lot, but I'm okay. I'm riding the wave.
But, like, did you weigh yourself by yourself or was it, like, with a nurse that you had to do it?
Oh, I did it by myself. I did it by myself. Okay, and you know why I did it? Because I went and I saw the midwife and they said, they were really nice. They said, don't weigh yourself, there's no need. And I went, okay. So what did I do? Came home.
You went and weighed yourself?
Yeah.
Why?
don't know. And the minute I did it, I was like, well, that was stupid, fucking
idiot.
That's
good though that they said that, because I thought that they had to continue to weigh you to like check.
They do.
Oh, right.
But but it, I mean, it obviously depends on the hospital, the person, like everything. I've just been really lucky. And then I was like, oh, I don't want to know. And then they were like, well, then don't weigh yourself. You don't need to, you know, don't worry about it. There's no point worrying about it, which was so nice. So I was like, okay. And then I came home and was like, anyway, I'm just going to go weigh myself.
Fun activity.
I know, but you know what? I'm actually like, for about 20 minutes, I sat on the bed and I was like, oh, like, whoa. And then I actually just sat with it and I was like, literally, why do I care about like my gravity's pull onto the universe? Like, I've got a human inside me. I got a butt ton of blood and like placenta and shit. And also like, I'm just surviving. You know what I mean? I'm just getting through.
You are a lot of months pregnant.
Yeah. And it's fine. And you know what? Even if I wasn't, it's just like, okay, well, it's sort of like fine. And then if it'll come off or it won't, and then I'll just be fine with that. And I just kind of sat there and I was like, it really hasn't changed my life. You know what I mean? Like, I sat on the bed and I just pulled myself back. I was just like, I don't really know why. This is exactly the same. I'm exactly the same person I was before I found out how much I weighed. So
yeah, 100%.
I don't know. And I'm actually kind of impressed with myself for the weight gain. Like, it's... If I was a man, like, if I was a man, we'd be celebrating. Like, my brother and his friends always have a competition to hit 100 kilograms by Christmas Day.
Oh, God.
Just from mass consumption. And I'm just like, wow, I wish I was a man.
Yeah, I mean, like, you are very pregnant at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine.
You are bound to have put on a lot of weight.
Yeah. And I'm holding on to my fat. Like, and that's what the doctor said. That's what the hospital said as well. They're like, you're just... a lot of people, women, store fat in your thighs for breastfeeding. Because I had that woman the other day call, you know, troll me and say, like, oh, you've got loads of cellulite or whatever. And I have, my body has changed. I haven't really had cellulite like that before. And I'm definitely a lot wider than I've ever been in my, like, legs and ass. But then when I spoke to them about it, they were just like, that's literally where you store fat. And loads of my friends who've breastfed said, like, it's like that. Like, when you start breastfeeding, your body starts using that resource.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing. But
it's amazing. Yeah. It's absolutely incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I don't want to moan about it at all.
No, I know. No.
But I want to be honest about it, because it's not the easiest thing I've ever done.
Exactly. And the thing is, if you're feeling it, other people will be feeling it. And it totally makes sense, the discomfort with watching your body change. Like, it totally makes sense.
And I think a lot of people DM me as well, being like, oh, well, just you wait, like, because it's going to be so much worse afterwards. And actually,
oh my,
like,
God, honestly, fuck
I know,
off.
I know. But they say, like, oh, I miss my pregnant body. Like, you're making a miracle. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, and I get that. And I do get that it'll be harder afterwards. Because at the moment, yes, like, every time I look down, I'm like, oh. But then I'm like, no, it's not a, like, it's a house. It's kind of cool. But... yeah, but I don't know. I feel really bad moaning about it ever, because I'm like, I know I'm so lucky and I know it doesn't matter and I know it's a miracle and everything. But then I also just want to acknowledge it, because we do spend our whole lives being told that we have to look a certain way. And then all of a sudden out of your control, you just don't look the same way that you've always looked. And it's just the wild one.
For everything postpartum, the Birds Papaya, at the Birds Papaya on Instagram, she's amazing. And she's written some... like, beautiful stuff about postpartum and postpartum bodies. So for anyone who's struggling with that, like, you've got to go follow her. She's amazing. Go back through. I think she had a baby last year and she just wrote some really, like, her words are, like, her pictures are stunning, but her words are just next level. It's really beautiful. So
she's gorgeous. Yeah. Gorgeous.
Let's barrel through the rest of this, because I feel like we've not really done our job here in keeping things short and sweet, have we?
No.
Awkward. I chipped my front tooth eating egg on toast.
What? No, you can't just skip past that. What kind of egg? Hard-boiled, clearly.
Literally. I don't
ostrich
know how
egg,
I did it.
Dragon's egg.
Somehow. And I don't know how this happened, because this never happens, but my bottom teeth met my front teeth eating egg on toast. Like, how or why would that ever happen?
I hate when that happens.
It's horrible.
When they tell me, intimate. It's the same as you getting in my revolving door segment.
Too much, yeah. It's funny, isn't it? It's funny. Yeah. And anyway, so chip my tooth.
What happened to the bit of tooth? Did you chip it? I mean, did you eat it?
I swallowed it.
Swallow it?
How gross. I swallowed it.
Nice.
Calcium.
Bones. Yeah. Bone marrow. I don't know.
That's my awkward. My good. My good is that Spotify did their Wrapped thing, whatever that is.
That's
what they do. Is it? Oh, my God. I said to you, like, someone tagged me in something and I just kind of, I was on the go while I saw it and I was like, I don't know what this is. And then you were like, have you seen people are tagging us in their Spotify's? And literally, there's so many people with like thousands of minutes. Thousands of minutes.
Poor fuckers.
I know.
So our bad is we're both bot ugly, and our good is
people listen to the podcast.
Because we have faces for podcasts. Sorry about your tooth. My awkward.
Yeah, what's your awkward?
Right, you know, a few weeks ago I made a wreath.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought it was really stunning. And I put it up on my front door, and no one's stolen it. And I'm really upset. It's been up for, well, it was up, it's gone now. I've put it in the bin, because honestly, fuck my neighbours. Yeah, it's been up for 5 weeks, maybe 4 or 5 weeks, and nobody stole it. And I am really upset, because I thought if I made a beautiful wreath, someone would steal it.
It'd be a goner.
It's not pinned down. You know, someone would see that and be there and be like, wow, that's something worth having. Do you know what I mean? People go to all the efforts. Like, you know, I was in the next door app here, and I see every day, Range Rover gone, Jaguar gone. And I was thinking, I was like, any fucking day now. Any fucking day, it'll be. I can try, guys. Has anyone? My wreath has been stolen. Alas,
you know what though? Subjectively, it was beautiful, and that's all that matters.
Objectively, it wasn't, because nobody took it.
No, but we're not going to focus on that.
And you know what? As well, I got home the day, and I didn't take it off. I made it sound like I took it off the door. I didn't. Alex took it off the door, and he replaced it. He replaced it. He's put another wreath up. He's put a shit wreath up that he bought from Etsy. It's like, why do you need to buy one when your wife is wreath maker extraordinaire?
Jesus,
massive knob. It's like,
I love wreaths. I'm going to buy one, actually.
No, let's go and make one. It was amazing. And I thought mine looked so good. No, actually, probably let's buy one. Because maybe mine obviously didn't look good. It's like when you make a child and you think yours is a pretty child, and then everyone else is like, oh, it's an ugly child, but you just can't see it. I think that's what's happened with the wreath. I think I made a lovely wreath. I was like, wow, blinded by love. And everyone else was looking at it being like, oh, what a shit show. Like, yeah, like that's what sad. Raffle prize did that's they really win sad. To get that on the door? Oh, unlucky.
Okay, well, there we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Orcs. I'll probably be the talk of the WhatsApp group now. They'll be like, oh, thank God, did you see Emma and Al taking down that monstrosity on the door? Finally, we can let our kids back out onto the streets again. Fuckers. None of them stole it. I was like, oh, just look in later. I want to see you on the Ring camera eyeing it up. I didn't see one person.
In the words of the TikTok people, you seem impressed. I don't know if I even use that right.
I don't know. I think we need to get you off TikTok just for everybody.
No, I love it. I love it. Keeps me young.
Does it?
So, this week, we have Anna Whitehouse, also known as Motherpucker.
Motherpucker.
Who is the founder of the Flex Appeal campaign, which is really, really cool. It's a call for all businesses to allow their employees to do flexible working.
I've learned so much from following Anna on Instagram. She's Mother Pucker on there. And it's the Flex Appeal really lays out the benefits of working flexibly, of like how the world could work flexibly and how the country could and how we'd all benefit from it. And she's coming at it from the angle of a mum, but I think, and that's how it started, was because she just didn't get the support she needed from the company that she worked at, which she'll explain. But it's expanded since then to cover like a plethora of issues surrounding flexible working and the people that require it, which is everybody. So we loved it. This is obviously now, God, I realised I shouldn't have talked about pregnancy in the beginning bit, because now we've talked about, it's just a kid heavy episode. It's just a hormone heavy episode. But then I've got to stop. Why am I belittling that? I belittle it like, oh, it's like such a silly thing that women talk about, but it's not a silly thing. What we talk about is actually really important, and what Anna talks about today is really important. So
super
I hope
important.
You will really enjoy it. It's also fucking hilarious. I don't think I've ever laughed so hard in an interview that definitely wasn't meant to be funny.
Rimming beagles was not where I thought we were going to end up in this episode, but you, every day's a different day.
Okay? Revolving doors and rimming beagles.
Enjoy.
Hi.
Anna,
hi.
Thanks so much for coming in.
You're welcome.
I saw you only just last week. Wait, where are we? Tuesday. Yes, last week.
Yeah, it was last week when we were talking about the madness of Special K.
Yeah.
And how we all bought into thinking we'd drop a dress size by just eating cereal.
Which tastes like cardboard.
It tastes like cardboard.
I wasn't there for that chat, but I feel like I can jump in.
Yeah, it was the 90s and the thin is back in chat.
Oh my God.
Yeah, which is...
I've picked a bad time to get pregnant, I'm going to be honest.
You really
just
have.
Just as thin comes back in, I'm ballooning.
Blossoming.
Blossoming.
Yeah, blossoming. Let's go.
I like that. The tables have turned and now we're interviewing you, which is cool. Thank you so much for coming in.
You're welcome.
I'm excited.
Yes.
Where should we start? We have a lot to talk about.
So much. We were talking about you for a really long time before and about all the things we wanted to ask, but we didn't actually settle on how we were going to get there.
Well, what do you want to pick? Do you want to pick maternity discrimination, women getting fucked over, patriarchy? I mean, take your pick from the Quality Street box of discrimination.
Do you know what? I think it would be good to know how Mother Pucker came about. Anyone that doesn't know.
Yeah, no, that's a fair question. So it started, and I have to be very careful how I say this, because I was working at the L'Oreal Group, and I didn't leave because I wasn't worth it. I want to be very, very clear. Very good relationship with them. Always have done, always will do. But I was working there as a senior copywriter, and I got on with my boss very well. And I requested to come in 15 minutes earlier so I could leave 15 minutes earlier to pick up my daughter from nursery. I was like, the trains, I used to call it like running the gauntlet, you know, where you have to get, you'll understand this, Em, when you drop the sprog. you have to go and pick them up from their childcare receptacle at a certain time.
Yeah,
and I got charged £1 a minute every minute I was late to pick up. And that's normal, that's standard.
Is
so you've not just got the pressure of, you know, getting back from your meeting. You've then got the payment after six of £1 a minute. So, and then your little daughter sitting there with her Paw Patrol backpack on, the last kid there with Bambi eyes, you know, like, why are you the last mum?
No, you're costing her a fortune.
They're
fortune is being cost.
Yeah. And I thought, God, this isn't working and I need a bit of flexibility. And my boss, again, who I get on really well with, she said, we can't give it to you because it will open the floodgates to others seeking flexible working. And mentally, that's when I quit. You know, and I went at the time, motherfucker. And then I thought, no one's going to listen to that because no one likes an angry woman. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another issue we can unpack. And so I watered it down to sort of motherpucker.
Yeah.
But it came from that primal, I get a bit emotional talking about it, visceral maternal rage that actually, why can't you open the floodgates? Mm. Like people are drowning behind them. And they lost a really good employee. You know, that was the big thing for me.
Yeah.
They lost somebody who was really talented. And I've almost gone on to show what I could have done for that company. And I think that's a loss for the business more than me. So that's where it started. But my mum doesn't like swearing, so it was mother pucker.
You're a pucker.
Love that. Yeah.
I spoke to somebody very well who has just left her job. And she's always admired you massively and followed you. And I've always... you know, we've just talked about you a bunch. It's not weird. She's always cited the need for what you did. And until her, I didn't realise how bad this was because obviously I'm not a mum yet. But she's just lost her job because she took a job during COVID that she thought was going to be good for flexible working. And then when she was working from home, it was fine. And then when they all expected to go back to the office, she said, I took it because I thought it was going to be flexi and I can't pick my kids up or whatever. And then there was just no compromise and she's lost the job.
And then you end up getting pushed out, right? Mm. And so, you know, before you have kids, you have your head in the sand almost. There's this quiet assumption that pregnant women will just disappear somewhere to Gilead. Like that's how it felt. Like you didn't question it. You just thought it would be different for me.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you pregnant right now going... I was in that position of naivety, you know, that no, it won't happen to me. You know, it can't happen to me, but it will 100%
in different ways. Well, this is what terrifies me. This is what I wanted to talk to you about. Sorry, I'm totally like sitting, but I want to ask, like, this has been my biggest fear since wanting to get, or since being pregnant, but also before being pregnant. It's how am I going to keep working? And we work a very unique job in that theoretically, yes, we can keep working. We don't need to stop in that. It's very flexible, but my whole identity, my whole job is my identity, and my whole identity is about to change. And I'm literally going into this like, oh my God. Like, terrifying.
Yeah.
Terrifying. I don't want to just be a mum, but then I'm also like, but I'm also going to be one. But it's so hard for women because you can't just, she doesn't not exist.
Well, you're dismantled biologically, and that's the bit that never gets talked about. So you go through these biological shifts as a woman that men don't go through, right? You know, we have periods. Then you go on to have perhaps a baby, if that is your choice. Then you go through the menopause, these undulations of your biology, and you are expected to work through it and man up, essentially. Just that was the historical way of working. Show up, and you know that phrase where women, you know, are like at home like they don't have work, and then go to work like they don't have a family. It's untenable, you know, because the burden of childcare is strapped to your shoulders, because quite literally, like my baby, she breastfed, you know, she needed the boob. And so my husband, as much as he's got moobs and they are fruitful,
they are useless.
They are useless. God, that's a really nice analogy for the patriarchy. They think
you
they're
and your
fruitful.
Useless moobs.
You and your redundant moobs. That's it. But I think coming back to, you know, where we kind of got chatting was, I was posting about avocado toast back in the day, and I put online that day, I had 62 followers. Like, sorry, but why is no one talking about this? Like, I've just had to quit my job through inflexibility. I have the same fears M has right now of like losing my identity. And I was right in having those fears, because what was I asking for? 15 minutes of flexibility to retain a good employee. It felt like, I think in that moment, in the way that you have, I think with this podcast and posted on your separate social medias, there came a point where you go, okay, I am not posting my avocado toast anymore. I'm fucked off. I'm angry. And I've got something to say here. And I think there comes a point where you become an accidental activist or influencer or whatever the phrasing is people want to use to demean women online.
Yes. To undervalue and undermine.
To undervalue. Yes. Yeah. And minimise actually women who have a voice outside of, Alex and I can be really open, the publications we used to write for. Yeah. You know, that wasn't our voice. That was the voice of that magazine. So here we are,
up. So why do you think no one was talking about it beforehand? When you were like, why is no one talking about it? When you were thinking that, why is it because we had just, like, women had just been expected to...
I think that's right.
Just carry on, make it work. Like, this is just how it goes.
There was an acceptance and I think a weariness of no one had the fight in them. I mean, you are, you know, splashdown is going to happen at some point.
This baby is coming.
This baby is coming. Yeah. And I think you can't underestimate the vulnerability. And it's a biological vulnerability. It's not a weakness. And there's a very big difference. But when you have a baby, you are dismantled. Quite rightly, you've just raised a new... We've brought a new life into the world, and it's definitely not like Pride, Rock and Simba. It's all I'm going to say. But you're knackered. And so you can't fight. Yeah. You know, the women who have been pushed out at that point, you already have a job in front of you, that mewling little infant, and you might have postnatal depression, and you might be wondering why you're not connecting to that baby, or you might be wondering why your husband isn't supporting you or your partner isn't there. And there's a whole myriad of things going on, and I don't think women had the fight in them. And then the internet landed, and there was a space, like with what you do, where somebody like me with 62 followers could go, I'm really hacked off. Yeah. And why should I have to leave? Why should I have to be the one that steps back? So yeah, it started from a place of real rage.
And what you were asking for was so minor. Small. A matter of 15 minutes. That just seems quite unbelievable that you wouldn't have been granted 15 minutes.
No.
You know, help. It's quite unbelievable. Yeah.
Well, it was. So I trained to be a barrister, and that was where
That's very useful. Yeah.
And I started there, and I remember I was at Devereux Chambers, and the QC. It was his son who was the pupil, and I remember him saying to me when I was training, and I was like 20 at the time. He's like, "Oh, don't worry, you'll have a lot of luck next year getting into the bar because it's sort of the year of the woman, you know." And I saw, and I looked around at the chambers, and there were no women beyond 30. Okay, so it was pretty much that juncture of motherhood. I saw a career as a 20-year-old woman, and I thought, okay, I'm only going to be able to work really up until 30 here. Am I really going to want this as a job? And so I ended up being a journalist. I mean, I started on Practical Caravan magazine. so I thought I was going to make a really big stand, and then ended up just talking about tow bars for a bit. But, you know, my family didn't understand. But the optics there are so important. And I was a young girl looking ahead at my biological future that might have included a child. And I thought, there is no way through. And I had to sidestep even then to progress. So it starts from a very young age.
Yeah.
With that.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's so fast. It is like, it's the most depressing thing. Like, I have a friend who's staying in a career that she doesn't love as much as she doesn't want to be there. She feels like she's stagnant. She feels like a career, but she's 30. She knows she wants to have a baby, and she knows she's gone for other job interviews, and her age has come up around the houses every single time, not so much as, hello, like, how old are you and how many eggs do you have and what children do you want to make with them? But, you know, she's like, it's something that she's been very aware of. And it was so interesting watching her, who does a very similar job to my husband, both of them going for a different job at the same time. They're exactly the same age. And just, he's just like, whoop, just going to slide in here. I'm just going to go and do whatever I want.
Yeah.
As he should. And she can't do that. She just can't. And it's like, it's, you're making these sacrifices for kids that you don't even have yet.
Yeah.
Because you just, yeah. And like, I mean, it's mad. And that's in London, where flexible working is pretty good. And, you know, it's like she's in a progressive industry and whatever, but it's just like...
And it's often, to be really blunt, it's often women. I hate the phrase cock blocking, but it's often women at the top preventing other women coming through.
Why do you think that is?
Yeah.
I think it's residual trauma of having had to, if you think of the sacrifices women had to make off the backdrop of a world that hasn't shifted at all, but is definitely getting better. They perhaps didn't have children. You know, they perhaps had to go through so much more than maybe we have to go through. And I think there is residual bitterness, justified anger, justified hurt and pain at what women had to go through to not just smash glass ceilings, but bulldoze them. And so I think then there is that sense of, it was so hard for me, so I'm not going to make it easy for anyone else. That's not right. Do I understand it with a bit of EQ and empathy? Yes.
Yeah.
But it's not just a, this isn't a man bashing exercise. It's very much anybody who's had to get
systemic
to the top. It is.
Right. And I'm imagining when you're saying that, I think what you're implying as well is women that have had to choose between career and children, because that's been like, and I feel like in films as well, that's like a common trope, isn't it? Like, oh, I'm a career woman, I can't have children as well. So it's probably, it must be some resentment there for women who have chosen careers, and that meant that they couldn't, or felt like they couldn't, have children as well.
Yeah, and I think you think of the phrasing like manning up, grabbing him by the balls, he's got balls, you know, it's all just very masculine terminology around success.
But I was saying that with my mom. Like, my mom took me, she had a cesarean and she was back at work after she had me in 3 weeks. She took me to the office with it because she could, and like had to go back to work because that was like how it was. And she has worn that like a badge of honor, as she should, because she, you know, like smashed it. But also, it's like, you think about it, it's like, shit, like, that's insane. And now we say to her, like, Alex has 6 weeks paternity leave, and she's like, whoa, like, happy for us, but also just like, things are so different. And she's not resentful or bitter or in a position to stop anybody from doing that, even if she was, but it's actually, I can see that must be fucking irritating if you've had to be her, and like countless women have been, whatever career it is, they've either left their kid at home or just gone back to work or taken the kid or whatever it is, and just like broken themselves in half to do it. And then we have this easier time, and I put that in quotation marks. It is annoying. I mean, like, please don't stop us having the easier time.
Yeah,
like,
let's continue.
I can see that they're annoyed. Like, I can see why it's frustrating.
Because you're
for
talking
people.
About separation from your child. So she would have, you don't know the cost of her not being there for you. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's unquantifiable.
Yeah.
So there is this sense of, if I'd have only been there more, would we not have had that argument? If I'd have only been there more, it lives with you as a woman in a way I don't think it does so much with men.
I'm having my eyes open. I'm getting like an immersive crash course into like the injustices that you hear about and you care about as a woman without children. But it's making me realise, even in my completely privileged position of being my own boss to an extent, I don't know why I looked at you like,
I know, like
you're
I'm your boss.
Alex is your boss.
Oh, my watch is like, I don't understand.
I'm your
either.
Boss. Siri's your boss.
You realise it's like, and I guess maybe I would have looked at mums before and been, I don't know, and just not got it. And even now coming into it, I'm just like, oh my God, this is, even pregnancy, I have had this crazy feeling of like having to just shut up and not moan. And even the people that I work with, you know, because I have been so sick, like July was a complete write-off. I've been on medication since 7 weeks. Like, it's just been so rough, and so much rougher than I thought. And I've been so bored of myself moaning about it. Like, I can't hear it anymore. Like, it's too annoying. Like, you guys ask how I am, I'm like, fine, I don't want to talk about it, it's just too annoying. And like, I'm so used to it. But then, you know, in my work, I have to tell people that I'm not well. I have, you know, I can't, I haven't been able to go at my full capacity. And all I've thought this whole time is just like, oh my God, teachers are doing this, nurses are doing this, people with front-facing, customer-facing jobs are doing this, and they're not allowed to tell anybody that they're pregnant because of some ridiculous societal norm until 12 weeks. The apps recommend you tell your boss at 15 weeks. I don't know what you think about this, but it's like, I was so ill, like I couldn't. I had to tell all of you guys so early because I was just like, you're going to think I'm dying. Like, you're going to think that something's like massively wrong with me. But you just have to, from the very beginning of the whole journey, you just have to shut up about it.
You have to disassociate with something seismic that is happening in your womb and with your hormones. And I find it confronting still hearing women feeling like that, you know, like I hear from women, and this has happened to me, where we're not even talking about having the baby, women miscarrying at their desk, you know, for fear of telling your boss that you're trying, which will then perhaps scupper a promotion landing because she's trying. And I heard from a HR assistant recently, to give you context, the depth of this. She said, I want you to know that this is still happening in 2022. I found an Excel spreadsheet with a list of women's names on it who just recently got married or engaged. And she said, I asked my boss, are these women, are we sending flowers to them? What's happening? And they were women who weren't up for promotion.
You're joking.
Because of the potential for procreation. That is happening in 2022. That is one example. And I have to be really frank and transparent. I don't know what company that is, you know, I can't imagine it's made up, you know, I don't think anybody would give me that information. It's too nuanced, too detailed, but it's some indication of what still is very much there, and what you will face, that you will face the wall I faced at 20, trying to think, God, maybe I could be a lawyer one day, and going, perhaps, my sweet, it'll be the year of the woman next year. God forbid.
Fingers
crossed. Still waiting. And, it, you know, I had the marketing director of the bar get in touch and saying, I just want you to know that it's changed. It's got a lot better. And she's got a job to do, right? Yeah. And I posted that apparently things have changed at the bar since I tried to get in. And then just thousands of lawyers going, nope, no, it hasn't.
Really?
And if you're talking about the transparency of this world, it's not magazines where we have to ask permission to write what we want to write. Mm-hmm. Can now, you know, say what we want to say and get genuine responses and going, no, it's not changing. And there's so much more to do.
Yeah. Shit, you're busy.
Well,
you've got stuff to do, Anna.
Babe,
what are you doing here? Help.
The really sad thing is, the thing that I find really gutting is I campaigned for 3 years on my own, and it was only when my husband joined me that I got listened to.
Really?
Really?
And I get upset saying that. But it's still, I was seen as this sort of knackered mummy fighting for, to see more of her sort of Weetabix covered baby. And as soon as he joined the conversation, suddenly doors were open. We're at number 10. Suddenly round tables were including us both because we've got a male voice. And I found that probably more gutting than anything else. Nothing had changed in terms of the campaign.
That's so gutting that it needed a man to add weight to the conversation, isn't it? That's really gutting.
Yeah.
But if I close my eyes, I can picture like the you that you're painted as. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Not the you, but like you just think like Sue from Outnumbered or like any of that where it's just like it's she's always trying to do her job. Like I love that show, but she's always trying to do her job, but she can't because like she picks up the phone and the kids are, the kids are on the this and the kids are doing this. And oh, wait, I can't find my phone. And he just goes out to work every day as a mediocre and keeps getting fired as a shit teacher. And she's trying to do her career and it's like she can't do it because she's at home. And it's just like, that's not the storyline. That's just the context to these kids' lives. And it's just like, because that's the context to every woman, every family life.
Well, I had a guy in the Daily Mail comments, which is just
best
place to read about yourself. And I can't remember, I was talking about childcare or something. And he said, I bet you're one of those mothers that puts your kids in an Uber and sends them to school every day. I was like, do you know what? If the Uber driver would take them, 100%, I would be in.
Who are those mothers?
It's like, will they?
Yeah.
Would they?
Great idea.
Can we carpool?
Yeah. I was like, babe, I don't think Uber would do that. I'll give it a go, but no, I'm not one of those mothers.
Yeah.
Those mothers. It's never those fathers.
Yeah. Honestly, it's never those fathers.
It's just,
I can't even picture that father. I can picture that mother.
Yeah.
Can't picture that father.
No.
Huh. Let's characterise him.
Isn't it?
What do we think?
The only thing that's coming into my head is Motherland, which I'm obsessed with.
I love it. I just finished it.
The guy, the Kevin. Only guy. Yeah, I can't remember his name. Yeah. That's like the only like
stay-at-home dad. Yeah. But they make him so tragic.
They make him tragic. Yeah.
But we've had this conversation, me and my Alex, about him, you know, he's so invested in having a family. Yeah. And he's more, and I don't even like saying this because it's like ridiculous, but there isn't the word. He's so maternal, which I know paternal's a word, but I mean it in like the he's so good with kids.
He's nesting.
He's so good with kids. He is beside himself. Like, this is what he was born for. This is what we're talking about before. Like, this is what he was born for. In a way, probably, that I don't feel like I was born for it in the way that he was is. And you know, we've talked about his work and whatever, and he's so like, you know, if this is what we're going to do, and this, I'm really happy to take some time out, and I'll be at home, and I'll do this and whatever, and that's within our relationship. I'm like, that sounds amazing. It might not happen. Might do. Who knows? But when we say that to other people, they look at us like we're mad. They look a bit sorry for him. They're like, oh, she really bullied you into that, has she?
Yeah. Like, oh, God, she's so bossy.
Yeah, she. Oh, God, what a nag. Like, right, so he's going to be ball and chain to.
Well, that's
kitchen.
It. You know, no offense, it's quite a blunt way of saying it, but they don't just spunk and leave, right? So like some of them do, but the majority are brilliant dads who aren't represented. Yeah. So that's another side of the coin. This whole hapless dad trope, for me, in the friends that I have, doesn't exist.
Yeah.
There are men out there who want to parent, but society is still going, no, you need
to go
out and earn the bacon. She cooks the bacon, you earn the bacon.
Yeah.
And that's how it is. I heard from a dad the other day who said, I put a flexible working request in, and my boss said, well, you know, can't your missus do that? He wanted to pick up his son on a Tuesday and a Thursday, not much to ask. He responded, he was like, well, my wife is a brain surgeon, so you can decide which side of the lane you want to go here, but I'm in recruitment. So, and you don't.
Who's got the Tuesday afternoon?
Got the Tuesday afternoon. And, you know, be very clear, you don't need to be at the head of the medical profession to be afforded flexibility. But it was a really, really recognizing, you know, what your partner is going through. They want, like, they want a dad. Like, my husband is an incredible father, and yet he doesn't get represented. 1 in 10 flexible working requests goes through for men, 4 in 10 goes through for women. So the burden of childcare is still on M's shoulders, not Alex's shoulders, regardless of how you believe you're going to parent and co-parent and balance this a juggernaut that is about to
land. You hear that? You're a juggernaut.
Just call it a juggernaut. Just not
I love
to,
that. We're going to call it a juggernaut for sure.
Not to scaremonger. But then the other side of that coin that I feel very, very strongly about is while there are, you know, your partner, my partner, who are brilliant, hands-on, doing the, to be honest, doing the fucking job, right? It's 50-50. Then there's the other side of it. And I was talking to my amazing hair stylist, Mary, the other day, and she just said the most accurate thing. She said, I'm just done with people like clapping my flipping husband for doing the bare minimum. Like, oh my God, it's a fish, it's swimming. Well done. Yeah. She's like, it's your house, it's your baby. Suck it up. And she's like, you see all these things on TikTok where it's like this guy going, how to get laid by your wife. And
hoovering.
It's like,
hoovering.
Stuck in the dishwasher.
It's your flipping house, mate. Yeah. Like, sort your shit out and stop posting that that's the way to our heart.
It's pathetic.
No. Do the bare, you know, you're doing the bare minimum, babe.
The bar is so low, they trip over it on a day.
Solo.
So you've got the two, and I think it's important not to have, like, with women, like with all humans, and that's what this podcast is about, nuance, right? There's not this homogenous lump of shit men. There's a significant group of men who are incredible and recognize things aren't okay as they stand. But yeah, there's still that, well done, he babysat his child.
And that's not nice for them either.
No.
Like, I had a massive, I remember my mum, in front of my mum's, they left the party. This couple left the party because, no, he left, and it was like, oh, he's going to babysit. And I was like, and I just, years ago, I was like a teenager, I was like, you can't babysit if it's your kid, like, just passing comment, whatever. He didn't talk to me for like a year, and I was like, you are a grown, and he was like 34, so you are a grown adult, like, and like, she can't do all of this. It's just like, oh, come on, you're a child. But you're right, like, for the most part, I feel really, it's the same thing as like feminism and feminism benefiting men as well. Like, it's toxic masculinity makes men suffer as much as it makes women suffer, if not more. And like, you, these men do get punished for not for punished with not being able to see their families in the way that perhaps they'd like to.
And also, like, talk about the guys that, well, we ended up going out, we've been married to. They were brought up in an era where, we were talking about this the other day, Alex, Nuts, Zoo, FHM. I wanted to be a flipping high street honey.
Yeah.
I was like, get the tits out for the lads vibes back in the day. You know, like, I was like, that was my version of feminism. And so they grew up on that. And that was what the media was saying to them, you know, was feeding that. And it's not an excuse, but they're absorbing that as much as we were absorbing, oh, let's slag off Kerry Katona on the beach with a few rolls hanging out.
Yeah.
Their version was Abby Titmuss going, this is your ideal woman. And so we're all...
I was trying to think of her name. That was it,
I've been told I look a bit like Abby Titmuss. So...
Oh my God, you do.
I'll take it. Yeah. I'll take it.
She's hot.
I'm wondering why my husband's with me. That's a lot more to unpack. But I think, you know, there is a recognition for that transition we're all going through, right? And I have these open conversations with Matt. You know, I said, I'm not giving you any sympathy, but it is a strange time for men.
Like, it is.
He will now. I don't know about you, but when you're, I don't know, there's moments in the home where he will choose to, like, put the moves on that are just not right. Like, just really jarring.
Hoovering and loading the dishwasher. Yeah,
just, like, the smell of congealed ketchup in the air as I'm putting the forks and, like, rearranging the forks. Come up behind me and just do that weird grindy thing. And I'm looking around. He's like, is that not okay? It was never okay. No. Even before Me Too, it was never okay. Yeah. Just so you know. And so he's sort of unraveling a bit and going, okay, that's not okay, fine.
Learning,
and I,
yeah,
no,
yeah, yeah.
You're unlearning and I'm with him unlearning. But, you know, I'm not there to do the work for him.
Yeah.
And I think that hapless dad trope needs to... to be honest, fuck off.
Yeah. But it's kind of amazing that he exists and that he's doing this with you, because there are so few men with platforms. It's the one area where, like, you know, you talked before about, like, you know, what you do, Alex, with dismantling diet culture. I don't know what the fuck I do, but you know what you're doing.
We're dismantling.
No, I know, but I haven't got a specific thing that I dismantle, so I'm still working. I'm having a bit of an identity.
Are you on
thing.
The mantle?
I'm unsure. It's pregnancy related.
There's
I'm
a lot,
sure.
Don't. Okay.
About once a week, 12. I'm like, what's the point of me? But anyway, I digress. The fact is, there are lots of yous, and there's not lots of yous. There are. You two have both got your platforms, and like lots of women have these platforms and having amazing conversations. There isn't that for men. They don't really have the people to teach them and help them on learning. So it is amazing that your husband's doing it.
Well, you've just got the Andrew Tates out there.
Exactly.
And, right.
Piers Morgan, James Smith.
Yeah, Jordan Peterson.
Yeah, all these helpful white men.
And perhaps a lack of compassion for men who do actually want to do the unlearning.
Well, I think
maybe not compassion, I guess. Yeah, maybe compassion and a bit of understanding and a bit of a willingness to help along the way as well.
To make mistakes, like the male version of the guilty feminist, you know.
Right.
And
I think there isn't that equivalent. And I think because so many men are so scared to say anything, you know, because, you know, there's varying degrees of hatred and rage to people, I think, and different groups of people. And to be honest, I think white men are right at the top of that rage pile. So I think there's this ridiculous, and to be honest, if there's anyone here who wants to pipe up, please do take the flak.
Yeah.
Get it wrong. We've been doing it for years, you know, the amount of flak I have taken for wrong wording, and I've absorbed it all, because ultimately the end goal is, and this is for your daughter as much as mine, is I can't raise her to do her ABCs, to maybe get her GCSEs, to get her A-levels, and look her in the eye and say, you can do anything and you can be anyone, knowing full well that she can't. Mm. Whereas I could say to my son, you can do anything and be anyone, knowing full well he can. So I never expected to be the voice for this, but I got to a maternal visceral point of going, I cannot raise her for the same fool that I had. That is it. And when you actually, it shouldn't be a mother's rage, it should be a human's rage for this. And I took it on, and I've taken the flak, I've taken the beating, I've taken the exhaustion, I've taken the knocking on doors. And there is a moment where I did say to him, like, pipe up, come on. And he did.
Yeah.
And that's when I was listened to. And that was equally galling, you know. But I think that's it, is that it shouldn't be for women to fix this. That's the exhaustion, right? It shouldn't be for you to fix diet culture. It was basically white media moguls, male media moguls, determining what was in those magazines. It was on them. You know, a lot of the features writers like us were pawns in that great big machine.
Yeah.
Same with how women were treated, you know, on a maternity level. But we're fixing it, trying to, and taking the flak and the cost in terms of doing that. So just any guys listening in, or anyone here who thinks they have a partner who has a strong perspective, a voice, please just get them to pipe up. Because there's no men having this conversation, and this isn't a female issue.
Yeah.
Sorry, there you go. I'll get down from me old.
No, I love that.
So,
yeah.
It's so goosebumps. Good. And whenever I do think about these men, I always just think, oh, I don't know. It's just not. I just, because my Alex is such a great, he is so good at this sort of thing. He was raised by a single mother, and he has just a very, he's actually as well brought up in the church, which I think has been very like compounding for his like righteousness thing. But I just think a lot of the time when he says the right thing, people just think, well, she's made him say that, or like she's pushed him into saying that, or he's only saying that because or whatever. And it's like, it's so annoying. It's such an irritating space, for that it's just the men aren't empowered to just feel anything.
And so they've chosen silence.
Yes, because
they're so scared of saying the wrong thing.
Yeah.
But it's coming back to Gilead. We all need to work together.
Because
right now, I'm not going to lie, it's looking a little more Gilead, I think, than anyone ever expected.
Yeah, it's not looking good, is it?
Margaret Atwood, she really was the mystic Meg of the literary world. Because she wrote Handmaid's Tale when everyone read it and went, oh, that's some dystopian world. And then suddenly we're in the pandemic. You've got women going back to the 1950s, taking on all the caring responsibilities, stepping back from their careers, going, Margaret, you've written the roadmap. What the flip is happening?
Abortion is now illegal. They're like, oh my God, fuck. I was moaning to Al before about just everything. It's a lot.
It's a big old change. And all I'm going to say, Emma, is nothing will prepare you for when they're then sort of three or four. And I was in the bath with my daughter the other day, and she just started picking my tit up and splashing it in water. And she's just literally going, dump, glung, dump, glung. And you know, you talk about body positivity and everything. It's really hard to dig deep in that moment. It is a bap splashing in the bathwater. It just made such a noise.
That sounds quite amusing. Yeah. I bet that was quite
I'm going to do that to my own next time I have a bath.
I do like to lean mine on the table as a little shelf. You know, you lean forward and put them on the shelf. I find that quite comfortable.
Just randomly.
You know, people like to cut their boobs. I like to just pop them on the table, you know.
You find often as well, when you're breastfeeding or just feeding, it doesn't matter how, being very clear, it doesn't matter how the food gets in the baby. Yes. I'm here for a fed baby.
Yep.
Want to make that
clear. Gin, tequila,
whatever it wants.
You are going to get cancelled before me. But you find often like debris in the little bridge between your two tits. And
I'm not breastfeeding and I find stuff in there all the time.
Little snack counter.
Yeah.
And you'll sort of be rustling around in there. You'll be like, oh, that's a nice warm raisin. There we go. Was it a raisin? Either way, you'll find yourself just... deconstructing, I would say.
I regularly find pieces of food stuck between my boob and my stomach.
Yeah.
Before pregnancy, just like crisps, just little ones, like a crumb's gone down there and just sucked in.
And there's a point you'll get to where you're so tired that you can't be bothered to take whatever debris they haven't eaten to the bin. So you just think, oh, I'll just hoover that
just
up. Just get that little, get that down the gullet.
That's why we have the dog, Boo Bear.
Impression.
She's like, I've been training for this my whole life.
I'll never forget when you, you know, when you hit the point where you can't continue, you hit a wall,
in
something.
Life,
no, but you just hit something really bad. And it happened with, we had a dog and I had a young baby. And our dog had eaten, and I can't even believe I'm saying this, we were living in Amsterdam and he'd eaten a tramp shit that had been laced with heroin.
Oh my God.
And so I never forget coming home and he's tripping his tits off and I had a young baby and he starts just like pissing everywhere like a sort of angry drunk, you know, because he's tripping his tits off.
He is an angry drunk.
And I was with my 3-week-old baby. My husband was at work. I was at the vets trying to explain, like, and they were like, he's got high levels of heroin in his system.
Holy shit.
And you know when you're postnatally depressed, absolutely broken, with a dog that's tripping his tits off at a vet you can't afford, and they're going, how did this happen? I'm like, I don't know.
Nobody knows.
And you find yourself in these situations where you're like, I can't process this. Another time, the same dog, we no longer have him, he is no longer with us, Douglas the beagle, I came in to the lounge, I can't believe I'm saying this, and he was there and he was just whimpering like, oh, oh, like that. And I thought, oh God, what's that? My 18-month-old was with her little tiny little finger just gently sort of teasing his asshole, and he hadn't moved. And I walked in, and these two moments that you can't predict in life, he was just not moving. He was obviously getting some pleasure from it.
Oh,
and I walked in and I just burst into tears. You know when you're like, I don't know where to start with this.
What emotion does this require?
You're like, the hormones are here and I can't. So I'm just saying, you think you know what you're doing with the child, then you add a dog into it. Yeah. You're going into...
I don't know if I've told you this story. It's literally the worst thing that I've ever done. Like, it's the worst thing that's ever happened to me and Buick, combined and individually apart. It's so bad. Like, I'm surprised we were even, like, it took us about 3 months afterwards to look each other in the eye again. But she once ran up at me, took a jump to get on my lap, but jumped too soon, so she wasn't going to make it. So I was like, oh, okay, I better scoop. So I went into scoop, and I went like that to pick her up, and my little finger went into her bum hole. I was like, oh my God, and she, it was like, it felt, oh, it was awful. It was like, you know, this like salat, like pepperoni thing, and she like rejected it. Then my finger like shot out, and she was like, oh, and like disappeared, and I was like, oh my God. I was like staring at my finger and I was like, this is so bad. And then she just sat on my the other side of the room for like the rest of the day. And we were like,
she was like, I don't trust you. Yeah. The boundaries have been crossed.
Yeah, that was not okay. I did not consent.
It's one rule, Mum.
It was so bad.
Throw in a child to that. All I'm saying, is expect, you know, they have that
I'd
book.
Have to cut my finger off.
What to expect when you're expecting. I'm like, doesn't touch the surface of what to expect.
You should rewrite that.
And be like, right, beagle
what
rimming.
Actually expect.
Beagle rimming.
The other thing is when you get so used to having your tits out feeding a baby that they just, you know, as they should have always been, they aren't sexualized. They are mammaries. And so you got your tits out, you got your breastfeeding bar down, you know, your raisins in your bra, you know, crying.
Slapping on the bar.
So I'm really selling it in, aren't I? And then you sort of go to open the flipping postman's at the door and your tits are just out and you're like, what? What you got for me? And he's just there, like, pan, what, like, white-faced.
God, they need to write like, because the cabbies have done one, haven't they?
Yeah.
Like, of, like, stories from cab driving. I'd say postmen have some tales, and it's probably mostly breastfeeding related.
Yeah,
it's probably seen a lot of milky udders.
My sister calls them the udders.
The udders.
But the other side of the coin is your relationship. So, like, Matt and I wrote a book called Where's My Happy Ending, because we were at that bit between joy of your relationship, which you might be in right now, and divorce. You know, no one talks about...
We're probably closer to the joy than the divorce.
Yeah, we were closer
Come
to
back
the divorce,
in a year.
Yeah. And we didn't want to break up and we didn't want a divorce, but we weren't feeling the joy. And no one talks about the grey bit, which, again, not to scaremonger, but to be very honest with you, no one prepares you for the dismantling of your relationship in that time. You know, you are told it's going to be lovely, it's going to be great. You know it's going to be a bit hard, but you don't know how. You don't know the specifics. And actually, all I'm going to say to you from what Matt and I wrote in that book was just recognise that it is circumstantial.
Mm.
You are not immune to however great your relationship is. You are not immune to the deconstruction that's going to happen biologically to you in your work. And this is an incredible moment, but it's also one that the world doesn't set you up for. It sets you up to fall on your face, because you're then going, why do I hate him? I used to love him. He impregnated me and I hate you. And you're like, that's normal that you are feeling that. And don't feel that that is irretrievable breakdown or something more serious. You are exhausted. You know, there is a resentment of the fact that baby needs your tits over his moobs.
Useless moobs.
It's
useless empty
moobs. And one thing that really helped us, whatever point you're in your relationship, because that feeds into everything that we campaign for, is this incredible fisherman. He's like 75 years old. He's called Derek West, and he's been married for, like, I don't know, 60 something years, and he's the longest serving fisherman in the UK. He fishes whelks, and he looked me in the eye, and we'd interviewed lots of people, relationship experts, everything, and he looked me in the eye and he just said, just make sure that you keep your eyes open to the community you're in. Don't put everything on Alex. Don't put everything on your partner, because they will break. He said, like, reach out to your community. He said, when I fall overboard, it's all the young fishermen around me that scoop me up. And he said, just be together today, whether you're at the beginning of your pregnancy, whether you've just had your baby, whether you decided not to have children, whatever juncture you're in, and don't take the rest for granted. And I was like, okay, that's got us through. Because you will go through so much. His career will continue to flow in a way, if I'm being brutal, yours won't. You'll have pregnancy brands suddenly going, oh, we want to talk to Em. You might be like, well, do you know what? I actually still want to talk about the other stuff where I don't feel aligned with that. But it won't happen to him in the way it does. Things will change. It might be incredible. It might be a brilliant change. But you will go through a different change as a woman than your partner, and prepare for that in a really healthy way.
It's interesting that you say all that. I already have to sit with that a lot, because it's like, it's quite easy. I think because my sickness has been so bad, it has been easy at times. Normally, it was not easy last Thursday. It was very easy last Thursday night to feel like this when he came home from his work drinks, with the hiccups at 4 a.m.
Oh my god, no, I can't. It's giving me anxiety.
I'm going to kill you. Like, I'd sat there and, like, thrown up the biscuits that I'd eaten, and I'd waken up like fucking heifer that I am, trying to get to the bathroom out my pregnancy pillow. My stupid mattress is too comfortable, so I can't get up. And he's just hiccuping. I was like, oh. And I had to really sit with myself and be like, okay, he didn't need to go and get the hiccups. Like, grow up. You're a grown man. You don't need the hiccups. But also, like, I have to take that on myself and just be like, I can communicate this tomorrow, but right now it's like, this is my situation. And you just have to, I guess, accept what I'm learning is, like, you have to accept that it is unfair, and no amount of being angry with him is going to make it fair. And you both just have to accept that and then do your best from there.
Lead with kindness. Nothing will ever prepare you for the moment that your partner, when you've got your postpartum pants on and your tits are leaking and you're crying, is lowering you onto the toilet and you're going, am I over the pan? Gently looking up at the man who has had sex and you to have this baby. Am I over the pan? Can I go now? Yes. Fire away, Poppet. Fire away.
Poppet. I'll massage my perineum yesterday for the first time.
Oh, how was that?
Intimate. I tried doing it myself. And look how long my nails are.
I was going to say, that's going to hurt.
You don't want to scratch gooch.
No, I tried it. And I was like, I tried it two nights ago myself. And I was like, this is just sad and painful. And then he did it yesterday. And he looked, it was horrible. It was like Boo in the bum hole. No. It was just all bad. No one wanted it.
Well, it's like, you know, when you have, I don't have waxes anymore. She's just ample down there. But, you know, when they spread the cheeks for the final rip.
Yeah.
And they're talking to you about your holiday. You're like, babe, none of us can paper over the cracks with this conversation.
You are
staring down the eye of the storm. And that's kind of what you've got to get used to in pregnancy.
Yeah. Oh, it's pretty rank.
And then you'll get to the point where you have to get the baby out, and it's suggested when you are literally the size of a house that his penis being inserted into you is a good way to get the baby out. And actually at that point you're so hacked off and you're like, get it in. You did this. Get it in to get it out.
You started this, you finished it.
Yeah.
And that was like, it's really hard to get an erection in this context. Get it in. Put it in. You put it in, you get it out. Now, do it. I don't care.
Fix it.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's true.
Sperm, though, isn't it? That's supposed to be good for it.
It's meant to curry in a shag, but when you're that angry, like, you're just so disillusioned at that point. Yeah, it's hard. It's not a great grounding for a more.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like the height of romance.
I feel like a male doctor came up with that. I tell you what, you need a curry and a shag.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Curry and a cock? Yeah. Curry and a cock? No, actually. No. I don't think we do. Margaret Atwood, can we write a different book? Yeah. The curry and a cock. That's a good pub, isn't it? Curry and a cock.
I think that should be the name of this episode.
Curry and a cock.
But also, your redundant, useless moves.
Yes, that's also a strong contender. Yeah, we're going to struggle with this one.
We've got a lot of merch that can come off the back of this podcast.
Oh my god, yeah. Little
a moob holder.
Yeah, little. I'm imagining like a t-shirt, but like with
built-in cups.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like Jean-Paul Gaultier. Yes. Exactly. For the man.
For men.
Yeah. And we could actually put expressed milk or formula into them.
Oh my god, and pump them up.
Yeah, like the Meet the Fockers.
Yeah.
Hey, nipples, Greg, can you milk me?
Imagine that would be very handy.
Wow, there's been some turns on this episode.
Is that what you thought it would go like?
Not at all.
No. We've also asked so few questions.
We haven't even talked about. We've mentioned.
Well, I feel like we've covered it.
Whatever you're about to say, we've probably covered it.
Well, the Flex Appeal. We haven't even like named it. Your campaign.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we've just like talked around it, but I feel like we need to like touch on that.
Yes.
Before we let you go.
Okay.
Like you said, you've taken it to number 10, right?
Yeah.
Number 10 Downing Street. Number 10 in the charts.
Like. Yeah.
The context was in my mind.
Well, it's sort of, again, coming back to where we began this conversation, it started as I think all grassroots kind of campaigns do, with just a moment of anger where you're not represented, right? It's that. And so we kept knocking on doors and we flash mobbed in streets and started having people listening to us, even though it was frustrating that it was with my husband. Yeah. But yeah, we are campaigning to change the law to get flexibility from day one for everyone.
Okay.
So at the moment, you've got to wait 26 weeks in a job. Then you get to request. That request has to be answered within 3 months. And then they can probably, for business reasons that are really loose and whimsical, come back and go, this won't work for business. Like for me. Right. Like who can't afford somebody 15 minutes right. either way of the day?
Yeah.
They couldn't. And so it's really set up for people to fail. And the people failing are women. Pushed out 54,000 every single year. It's not a figment. It's not some knackered mum piping up on the streets going, please, sir, can we have a bit of flexibility? So we need that flexibility for everyone, you know, whether you have caring responsibilities, whether you are disabled, whether you have anxiety, human reasons that you might need flexibility within your life. And it's not just for mums. I think that's the bit. And I'm so tired by having to repeat that over and again.
That's
because
so
I'm always just categorised as the, oh, that's that knackered mummy who wants to fight for other women. No, it's for everyone. Because without men, without Alex, yeah. without Matt, without our partners being able to, and not, they want to step up to the plate, but without them actually being allowed to by their businesses, nothing's going to change. And your little girl and my little girls are going to get to that point where their managers are rejecting that really loose request for flexible working around very real needs, like need to get to that nursery at 6 p.m. because they close at 6 p.m. and you're charged £1 a minute after that. There is no way out of that. You know, it's an inflexible childcare system. We need those managers, any listening right now, to remember where they flipping came from. Like, think of your own mother. Like, I remember, I think where this all began was when I was really young, and I remember seeing my mum, aged, I think, 47, roughly, just crying, ironically slumped by the dishwasher, having recognised that she hadn't had a career, that she hadn't been able to do what she'd wanted. It was assumed that position for her. And I think she got to 47 and just realised that she never had a choice. As much as she loves my sister and I, she never had the choice. And that's the only thing I'm fighting for, is choice for my girls, yours, but also my sons and your sons. And I feel deeply saddened thinking of the women in our parents' generations that were perhaps miscarrying in avocado-coloured bathrooms and not telling their friends, who are going through the menopause quietly and joking about hot flushes. Now, it's a really significant thing. And the women, just like my mum, assuming that there was no choice.
Yeah.
And that's really where it comes from. I think it started there.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Anyway, back to beagle rimming.
It's like, no, please.
Have my time.
She's sensing your tears. She's like,
She's sensing the sadness.
Yeah, she's doing a lot of that at the moment.
Oh, that's really sweet. Like, she's got really cute. Do you want to help fix the patriarchy?
Help fix me. fix this. It's horrible.
That's really powerful.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, on behalf of, like, so many women, thank you for what you're doing. It's amazing.
What all of us are doing now. Because
no, it's what you're doing, honestly.
Yeah, it's
cool. Thank you from me, like, right in this position. Because we've had this conversation so many times, like, general people keep asking me, like, how are you going to do it? Are you going to have help? Are you going to do this? Whatever. And I'm like, I don't know how I can work and not. And I don't know. I genuinely,
I'll be fine because you have to be, and women have been forever. They've got through it. But I'm terrified. And I feel so much safer and happier and more confident and empowered knowing that the Flex Appeal exists, knowing that you're out there doing this, that Pregnant Then Screwed, you know, the March Pregnant Then Screwed happened a few weeks ago. Like, just even following you online gives me so much more confidence in whatever my next step is. So honestly, massively thank you.
Well, just anyone listening right now who's feeling, I think, broken by a system that's ultimately broken, is I've written about this a couple of times and it's helped me significantly, is it is okay to remember that your dog has just curled up next to me.
She is a therapy dog. She knows when she's needed.
It is okay to recognise that work is your something. Work you can hold on to, and you deserve to do that, as I wish my mum had been able to. But your family can be your everything. They can sit side by side. And we're currently in a world that says work is your everything. Mm. And your child and your family, not even talking about children, talking about your boyfriend, perhaps your iguana, whatever defines family for you is your something, and it should be the other way around. Mm. So just hold on to that work can be your something, but your family is your everything. And I'm from Holland. I'm Dutch. I raised one daughter there. And they understand family is at the top. I came back to London and I had a moment going, okay, we've got it so wrong here. It's the other way around. And well, there you go. I've got the therapy dog here. We've broken down the shackles of the patriarchy.
Stay away from her butthole.
I won't be fingering her butthole. She'll be fine.
It's just a me thing.
But thank you so much, guys.
Thank you so much.
And huge luck with the juggernaut.
I can't wait to get that, like, and I, you know, like they do, like the Pinterest moms. And
Juggernaut. Yeah, I love that.
The unveiling of the juggernaut.
Nice, like, brass sort of structure. It's going to be gorgeous. I'll send you all the photo when it's done.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Should I Delete That is part of the Acast Creator Network.